Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Father, that it cost you everything to provide that atonement at Calvary, that we might, even tonight, be in fellowship, not only with you, but with each other, filled with your Spirit, your fullness, eternity set before us. Father, we have so many promises which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just want to praise and thank you, Father, for our time together, for our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus over the room and all the saints who are coming in to join us well, that they too may enter in, Father. And we thank you, Lord, now for your word in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, this evening I want to encourage and exhort in the deeper life, in faith. And we have to remember that God has shown us in these last days how we are to make it in as overcomers. And he's been giving us the faith over the years, a faith which will believe for all things, will not take second best, will not take a substitute. All of these principles that he's been showing us, the pathway into the deeper life, the cross, the overcoming life, all of these things which we are living and experiencing day by day, I think God has made it very clear to us what we have received over the years, that he's been confirming over and over again. Not only that, but it is our personal experience also. And tonight I want to speak on something we know well. And you can write this down for a title. Overcoming in all things is the pathway into the deeper life. Overcoming in all things is the pathway into the deeper life. And it's interesting, when we speak of our overcoming, that Jesus' message to the churches in Revelation is a promise of the inheritance of all things to be given to the overcomers. So as you read, and we will look at this in a minute, to the seven churches in Asia Minor, each of those churches, Jesus has promised blessings to those who overcome, to those, in other words, who endure to the end. And nothing is promised to those who allow themselves to be overcome, which is interesting. So we are to trust the Lord, we are to keep our eyes upon Jesus, and not to be overcome by our circumstances or our trials or whatever we go through. And as we hear so many times, our trials are tailor-made. They may take us by surprise or a shock, but they don't with God. And so our trials are to work within us endurance, faith, and all those godly things that the Lord is working to us. And those that don't overcome, there's very little promise to them. In fact, throughout the scriptures, one will find no promises or assurance of ultimate blessing made to any except the overcomers. And this is why so often, sadly, today, we get teaching where we just receive Jesus as our Savior, or believe in Jesus, or make that right confession and join a church and so forth, but our walk as disciples has to go much deeper than that. God wants us to have a message and a teaching in these last days that's going to get us to stand, to endure all things. And that's why the Lord brought us into the deeper life teaching. None of this is by mistake, but it's God's divine purpose and plan. And Jesus had something to say about this. In Matthew 24 and verse 13, in Matthew 24 and verse 13, and here it's in the context where he's speaking about the destruction of the temple. This is all in the last days and the signs of the times of the end of the age, and which we're moving rapidly into. And in it he says in verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. And it goes on then that this gospel will be preached to the four corners of the earth, of which it will. So even Jesus spoke of this to him, that we are to endure to the end. Now it's interesting, in Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2, we'll look at these, just some of these promises briefly. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So he says here a promise to the overcomers, I will give to eat of the tree, which means eternal life. It means that we will in a sense eat of God, not literally, but that we are feeding off him. He is our life. He is this now to us, sustaining and keeping us. But we're going to learn, we're going to receive eternal life from him through eternity. And so that's what he gives to us, to eat of the tree of life, a life eternal. And that's a promise to the overcomers, those that who endure to the end. What does he say in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. And this is why God has given us faith and continues to give us faith, and gave us faith right at the beginning, because it's that is the root, that is the key, that is the pathway to the fullness of God. This isn't just merely an experience or just the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All of that is vitally important, but it also requires that we also overcome. And to overcome in all things, we need an empowerment. And that's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we've been shown that the Spirit is the doorway into that deeper life. And the deeper life is that we overcome, we endure, we stay with it, whatever the trial may be. And it's interesting that the most significant revelation that the Spirit is giving now at the close of the age is that a believer overcomes in all things. That's the revelation to the deeper life. That is what God is saying. That's what he's saying to you. That's what he's saying to me. That is what he was saying to each one of us, even today. That is the key. That is the revelation. That is the message. That is what the Spirit is saying to the church, is saying to us right now at this moment. Stay with it, endure, overcome all things. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's why we look to Calvary, we look to the cross, because Jesus is the overcomer. He has overcome for us. He's gone before to prepare the way so that we too may be those overcomers just like him. And he loved his life even unto death, and surrendered and gave his life as that offering. And we walk in a similar way. But now we have the grace and mercy of God. We have the Holy Spirit minister to us, who helps us, who encourages us when we feel down, or we feel we can't go on, or it's just, I've had enough, Lord. And many times we do come to that end. But there's just something there that's supporting, holding us, just pushing us on. Thank God for that. That's God's love and mercy and grace. You see, there are many blessings and promises made by the Lord Jesus to the overcomers, And we see this, of course, in the book of Revelation. We've just read this back in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, which we just read to you. And if we look further at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11, here we see, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death." So the overcomers have assurance that they will not be part of the second death, but are found in the second Adam. So we have eternal life. It is secure. We will make it in. No ifs or buts, nor making it in by the skin of our teeth. But he's promised there in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 11. Then we get another promise, don't we, in verse 17 of chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, of which he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." So he says to the overcomers, those that overcome in all things, those that are faithful, you will eat of the hidden manna. There's a manna that's to be given, to be revealed, something more of God that will not be shown to everyone, but to the bride, to the bride that makes herself ready, to the over the first fruits. You're going to experience more of God than some others. How do we know? Because he says, "I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who overcomes." And in many ways, brothers and sisters, we're beginning to experience that now. We're beginning to experience a deeper teaching, a deeper life. You tell me, how many respond when they hear the deeper life teaching? Very few. Very few want to go on into the deeper life. Very few want this teaching. So we're already beginning to see the promise that God has made here. How often have we said, how can we begin to explain this to other people? How can we tell of this walk? How can we explain what we're receiving, what we're hearing, what we're going through, what we experience in our meetings? You can't, because they wouldn't understand. So we're already getting an understanding of this here, of this hidden matter. Our name's written, special. This is partly what's making the bride making herself ready, by this revelation, this hidden manna. Everyone has the chance, the opportunity to hear, but not all want to pay the cost. Not all want to overcome and endure to the end, of which to receive these blessings, as he says here. And a new name written, which no one knows except from him who receives it. So there will be a new name. And probably we have new names as well. It's something that's secret. It's something between you and God, you see. And so this is what he's promised here. And then we move on, don't we? Another promise that he gives to the overcomers. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 to 28. 26, 28. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule with them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. I also have received from my Father, and will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So we see quite clearly here our greater works ministry that he's promised to the overcomers, to those who endure. He says that we're going to rule and reign with him. that we shall be with him where he will rule with a rod of iron and put down the enemy. And he says, and also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Well, there may be a place in heaven, or star possibly, yes, morning star, that will be just for the overcomers, to enjoy something special with the Lord. Who knows? But it's there. This is the point, that we have these blessings to those who endure, those who stay with it. We have everything to gain, brothers and sisters. And that we're going to be clothed in white raiment. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So he says he's not going to blot our name out. We have that assurance that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do you know that assurance? Because you're staying with it. You're overcoming. So that is a clear anchoring, a clear definition that your names are written. Therefore, you are going to endure whatever is thrown at you. There is the promise, if we simply choose to believe it. And not only that, but clothed in white garments. So there's lovely vestures that he's going to put on, those garments. That's why we get this idea of the bride that's making herself ready, putting on that bridal clothes. And then we see in Revelation 3 verse 12, Revelation 3 verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, and New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So again, to only those who overcome, he says, I will make pillars out of you. And we know, we've heard this many, many times, but that speaks of something that is cemented, deep, secure. A pillar which, of course, we know will take the weight, will take the weight of the roof of a building. So it's something pillar-like, something secure, resolute. That's what he's making out of us. That's what he says you will be throughout eternity. You will have that appearance. You will have that known about you throughout eternity. You'll be known as a pillar, somebody secure, somebody who overcame all the trials and oppositions. These are all facets, if you like, spiritual things that are going to remain and stay with us throughout eternity and will be known and will be seen by the overcomers. But give God all the glory. So he says not only pillars in the temple of God, and will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. So we're going to have inscribed to us God's city, God's name. In other words, we're identified to it. We're a part of it. It's our home. It's fully known and seen. In many ways, if we go and visit someone, or we go and visit friends in a house, we go into that house, but we're only just visitors there. Whereas the person who's invited us, that is their house. That is their abode. So there we get the idea of what heaven will be for us. It will be ours, our home. And people will know that and see that, you see. This is what he says here. The new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. So you're going to have a new name that God is going to give to each one of us. Wow, I wonder what it's going to be. Well, that's something we wait for the future. But all of this is for the overcomers. And that's why the overcoming life is that pathway into the deeper life. It is the key factor. It is what it's all about. That's why we have to move on from the baptism into the deeper life. The deeper life is the overcoming life. It is staying with it. Whatever the trial, whatever the devil's throwing at us, whatever he's suggesting or whatever, it's simply staying with it, because that is the pathway into eternity. That's what God has set. And we can have that assurance that whatever our trials, God's gone before and trod the path. He's gone before. He said at Calvary, it's done, it's finished, I've overcome. Now they will overcome as well. That's why we look to the death of Jesus Christ. You see, God in this hour is preparing to bring the body of Christ. He's bringing us into perfection, a perfection that is acceptable in his sight. Don't try and work out that perfection what you think it is, because we'll always get it wrong. But God sees a perfection. I believe it's a perfection of attitude, a perfection of heart. That is ultimately what he's looking for. For the overcomers, this perfection is going to be worked in and through us. And he's doing this by his word. Because his word is working that faith and that obedience in us, in which to achieve and work this perfection. For example, we see in the Gospel of John, John 16, I believe it is, John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13, of which he says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you say so well, for so I am." So it's his word that's working, permeating, building us up in the faith, building us in obedience. And this is how it's being achieved. We can only be overcomers by being fed with the pure word of God. As we see also, there's a lot of scriptures here, but bear with me if you will. In Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 26, Ephesians 5 and verse 26, 27, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So the word of God, as we know, spiritually washes us. And we know this is absolutely vital. This is why our fellowship, our coming together regularly, keeps us washed, so that God can work with us. And that it causes us to overcome, to obey, to believe, and so on. We see many, many other scriptures that speak on this as well, in 1 Corinthians 2:9, which you can look at, and so on. But sadly, you know, the rest of the body of Christ, those that don't overcome, that don't pay the cross, sadly, it's going to be the fire that's going to purge. And this is why we see, don't we, in Revelation 12, that the man-child is caught away, snatched away, then the woman flees into the wilderness. And then from her seed comes another group. But what is basically happening there? She's now being purged by fire. They're going to see that they have missed out. They're going to see, they will see from the word, because the Holy Spirit will quicken it to Christians, that they had a chance to overcome. They had a chance spiritually to get into the ark, but they didn't want it. Their consecration was shallow. They want to pay the cost to start to overcome now in this life. And many are going to be left behind. Many think that they're all going to go up in the rapture, but the scriptures show very clearly the rapture is only for the overcomers, those who are paying the cost, those who are overcoming, enduring to the end. What does it say in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 11 to 15. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, which one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, so as through fire. And he goes on, do you not know that you are the temple of God? And so on. So there we see how God is going to test all of this. This is why we need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Whatever other Christians or other churches are doing, you lead them to God. You work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And the key to this, we know if we're on the right track, because we're staying with it. We're enduring. We're overcoming through the trials. That is a clear indication what you are destined for. Praise God. And this is all on the basis of consecration. It's interesting, really, that the house of God has always consisted of basically two groups. Ones that stay on the outside and the others who go in and go into the deeper life. Through all history, one has really seen that through Christendom. And it's certainly going to be seen in the last days. So it's interesting what we see through all of this. And that's why he says that whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And that's why we need to be born again. But you see, most Christians never move on, do they, as we find, into that deeper experience. They never move on before those first principles of the gospel. As we know in Hebrews 6 verse 1, they just want the milk of the word. But they never move on to that there are solids to be taken. They could just about endure and handle just the milk of the word. But God placed in your heart, my heart, a desire for the meat of the word. That is God given. Some want that and some don't. And it doesn't matter how much you try to put it in front of them. It doesn't matter how you try and bring them to the meetings or whatever it is. If they don't want the solids, they won't respond. And sadly, we've seen many go from the assembly because they didn't really want the solids. They still wanted the milk of the word. And it's absolutely tragic. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. And it goes on, because it's sonship. That is what God has given to us. And sons grow up, sons mature, sons will eat the meat, the solid of the word of God. And that's absolutely vital if we're to mature now in these last days. You see, many have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they still remain babes in Christ, failing to see that one can go on deeper. And that's why they can't receive that strong milk. It's also interesting to find that many of these people, they also walk by sight instead of by faith. They're held by their emotions, by their feelings. And when you are held by your emotions and your feelings, you cannot grow up. A church cannot mature. Christians who walk by sight, by emotions, by feelings, you will find those churches are always divided. There's always contention. They can't get on. They tolerate one another. That's why they had to build entertainment. That's why they had to build a structure to try and keep the people, because they're not growing and maturing in the faith. But you see, for those who want the solids, the meat of the word, that's going to cause you to start to grow up, and you're going to have to find that you don't walk by sight, by feelings and emotions, but you're going to start to have to walk by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, as Hebrews 11 tells us. So you see, many have this shallow consecration. They're unwilling to pay the full cost of discipleship and forsake all for Jesus, as Jesus requires of all of us. But you see, the scriptures also show us, as we well know, brothers and sisters, that there is another group of overcomers that scriptures reveal that go on unto perfection. Let's turn to Hebrews 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. So he clearly says that the solids will get you to leave those elementary things, those principles, and move on to perfection. In other words, we don't continue to hold on to the five principles of faith, which many have wanted to do. That's why they can't move on, they can't go on. But you see, when you grasp that God is perfecting you, he's perfecting your walk, your consecration, your faith, your attitudes, your heart, your motive, everything you say and do, he's perfecting. That's a completely different thing. And that has to be experienced. It's not just mere words, as we know, but that's ultimately what he's doing. But those people are going to be led by the Spirit of God, and they're going to overcome in all things, praise his name. And not only that, are they going to overcome in all things, but they're going to mature as sons. This is why the bride who has the child in the womb is maturing, overcoming, ready to be caught away at that birth, maturing as sons. And what for? We've got to be snatched away in order that we can inherit all things, because the enemy's out to try and rob us of these inheritance and so on. That's why he tries to do what he does with us. This is why he tries to oppress our minds. This is why he tries to work unbelief, resentment, unforgiveness, those things that we still battle with. We can't let go. We're not seeing what the blood of Jesus can and will do for our minds. We're still entertaining those thoughts, those things, that try and oppress and bring us down. And this is why some of us, we still waver and are up and down or moody or whatever it is. The enemy's there to rob you of your inheritance. And where is he going to start to work first? You've got it in the mind. Hallelujah. That is why we take it each day and we walk this day by faith. Forget tomorrow. It's finished. It's past. It's history. Live today for Jesus, for the now. That is vitally important principle if we're to overcome in these last days. What does it say in Revelation 21 verse 7 now as I bring this to conclusion? Revelation 21 and verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Well, he's coming quickly. If that was given out nearly 2,000 years, how much more now? Indeed, he's coming quickly. Praise God. And he wants us all to be ready for that when he comes. Praise his name. So that is what God is calling us to, brothers and sisters, that we overcome in all things. And as we just simply stay with all of this, so it's going to bring forth that maturity and bring us into our sonship. And that's why you see the apostle could confidently speak this to the church in Romans. Romans, he speaks here, as we know, in Romans 8, and I'll just read it out here again, because I think this is applicable in the context of what we've just read here in Romans 14, 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we have to be led by the Spirit of God in order for this maturity to overcome in all things. It has to take the Spirit of God in order to accomplish and to work this. This is why we get out of the way. This is why we allow the cross to do its work, so that God, who is in us, the fullness of God, work will recreate this overcoming life in and through us. He's molding it. He's working it in and through each one of us. And he says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit we have received is not a spirit of fear. Why does he mention fear there? Because that's the number one weapon Satan uses to paralyze and hold the world. And God says we are delivered from that fear, that bondage. The Spirit himself here witnesses with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there is the witness of the Spirit. We hear God. My sheep hear my voice. They follow me. This is why we can put amen to it, because we hear it. We know it. It's right. And if children and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There it is, our suffering, our trials. So what we go through is a clear sign that you are going to be glorified with him. And he goes on, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And even though they hurt, and these trials that we go through, yet he says quite clearly, really, you know, brothers and sisters, this is nothing to what is going to be revealed. And we need to grasp that one. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So you hear, now you begin to see your purpose. Why you've been called from the foundation of the world. what God wants to accomplish and do through each one of us, through the church. It's a bigger picture than just you and your trial or what you're going through or what you feel. He says quite clearly, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for you, for me, each one of us, the revealing of the sons of God. Why? Because the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Adam's falling brought the world into bondage. And creation waits for that to be lifted. And you are instrumental in that. This is why this is almost mind-blowing. We can't even comprehend just how big this is, what God is doing in and through each one of us, both individually and corporately, and through the church, the overcomers. This is about the entire world. This is about planet Earth being changed. Sin being lifted. The curse finally being lifted. Bondage being lifted. This is what this is all about. And he goes on, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And that's what it's doing. It's in turmoil. It's like birth pangs. Wars, rumors of wars. It's in an absolute mess, and it's waiting for the church, for the overcomers, to release the world out of this bondage, this mess. And you are part of that, brothers and sisters. By your faith, you're staying with it, enduring, believing, being part of the bride of Christ. That is our task. That's why salvation is so much bigger than your life, your trials, your needs, your wants, or even your church. Most are asleep to seeing all of this. And yet, the Apostle Paul says very clearly what will happen in the last days. The overcomers will release this world from its corruption, its bondage, which Adam brought into the world. What a mission! What a future that we have presented to us! This is so much bigger than my life and what I'm going through, what I feel. This is mind-blowing. What the apostle says here. And not only that, he says, but also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And that's what it is. Every generation the church has groaned, waited to be released out of this bondage, out of overcoming, out of temptations and those things that the enemy tries to throw on us. We groan within ourselves to be delivered. That's why we look up, because our redemption draws nigh. This is why the church is simply a sojourner that passes through. We are not of this world. As Jesus said, he confidently said, I'm not of this world. And that's your confession. I am not of this world. I'm of another world. I'm with Jesus, and I'm simply passing through. Yet how many Christians believe that? How many Christians are still building their life, their future, their security in this world? We don't have one. We're disciples, followers of Jesus. And yes, whatever blessings he gives to us, praise God. But they're only temporal. Can't take any of it with you. And he goes on, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Our faith is real. Our faith and the promises in God's word are more real than this world, the room that you sit in, the chair that you sit on, the walls that you look at, or whatever material things you have. All of that will fade, will go away. But our faith, our belief in God's word and the promises is eternal. That is more real. Faith is more real than even what your eyes are looking at, even at this moment. You don't believe me? Read Hebrews 11:1. That clearly tells us what our faith is about. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that's why praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues is so vital, because it bypasses the mind. It is the Spirit praying directly to God. And how the enemy has so many Christians in bondage with this. You can't pray unless you pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says we're to pray in the Spirit, building ourselves our most holy faith. That's why you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the sign and the evidence of it is speaking in those tongues. That direct communication to God. That's why the enemy doesn't like it, because he doesn't understand that language you are baptized with. It is powerful. It brings down strongholds. It divides Satan's kingdom. You can only war effectively in the Spirit, because we war not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and dominions. The church so needs to wake up to this in these last days. But the overcomers, the first fruits, they will hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that is why, as I close now, it is so vital that we hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. As the seven churches in Asia Minor in the book of Revelation, the warning is there. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Because without a vision, my people, you perish. And God has given a vision now in these last days. And the bride is now making herself ready, and he's equipping the bride in which to do so. And it is the deeper life. It is going deeper with God as those disciples. It's walking the way of the cross. It's a forsaking all and following Jesus. It's a walk of faith and trust. All of these principles that God has been teaching us over the years. Well, praise God, the Lord is faithful, and that is what I believe he laid on my heart for you all this evening to hear. And the overcoming life, staying with it, overcoming all things, that is the pathway into the deeper life. Yes, we've been challenged tonight, but that's good, because God loves us. And yes, we're going through trials, and some of the trials, I know some of you are going through severe, deep trials. But you know, God has not made a mistake. There is a purpose. There is a plan. The picture is so much bigger. And all we know to do is each day, just walk this day by faith, overcoming, staying with it. And God will be faithful. That's all he's ever asked of us, is simply to stay with it. And let the Spirit of God, the fullness of God who lives in you, let him work it out in and through you. Because you can't do it. That is why he's telling us so much to move aside, get out of the way, And let the fullness of God that lives in you live his life through you, so that he can love through you, he can believe through you, endure through you, overcome through you. Everything that we need to be equipped with, even the fruit of the Spirit, he is there in which to manifest in and through us, through our weakness. Praise God. Heavenly Father, again tonight, we want to thank you for your word. We thank you that your word cleanses us, it cleans us, which we all need, Father. It focuses us, it keeps our eyes looking to you. It reminds us, Lord, of those things that we need to hear, because sometimes we forget, Father, or whatever it would be. Lord, we thank you that you are feeding a remnant in these times in a land of famine, a famine for hearing the word of God, because many just don't want to hear. They don't want the deeper things. But Lord, we can't boast in any of this. This is all a work of grace. You first chose us. But a sign, Lord, is that we are secure, we will overcome, is that we stay with it. Please help us, Lord. Please help us not to take substitutes. Help us, Lord, not to look away or take our eyes off Jesus, but to constantly look to you each day and to walk each day by faith and what is in that day. And whatever we meet, whatever our trial, we have the assurance that you have overcome it. And so I pray you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and ever keep us until we fellowship again. Because we ask this now, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.